welcome to episode 2 of The Geek Night In. This evening we've got Gemma, Byron,
hello.
Tilly, and Kate. Sorry, I didn't give anyone time to say hello, did I? It's fine, everyone say it at once. Go.
Hello.
Hello.
Hooray, we have people, and I'm sure we have a list of topics probably. So we're really glad to have you back, Byron. Sorry you missed last week and missed our sort of no technical issues debut. Let's start off with something of yours, because you weren't here before. You saw RoboCop. What did you
think?
Oh,
I did, yes.
What did you think of RoboCop?
What was it like? Tell me.
Right, I'm going to commit a big sacrilege here, but I actually preferred it to the original.
Woo!
I know.
Okay,
how horrible is that?
Before I say that's a sacrilege, I've not seen the new RoboCop, so why do you prefer it?
Well, I always thought that the original was a bit over the top in terms of the baddies, right? They were, you know, really loud, really garish and all this kind of thing. Whereas the modern adaptation of the film is a bit more realistic, a bit more gritty. It's a bit like moving from, say, Val Kilmer's Batman to Dark Knight Returns, yeah?
Hmm. Now, see, when you say it like that, it sounds like it's a good thing. But the over-the-topness was the only thing I loved about RoboCop, was that it was so silly.
Yeah, it was silly, but it kind of annoyed me in that being silly, because when you see it once, it's like quirky, and then you see it going, oh, God, this is annoying. But the new film introduces moral choices. I mean, it starts off in somewhere like Afghanistan, using drones to keep the population down, and it kills a kid, and you're thinking, wow, didn't expect that.
Does it sort of maintain what I always felt like was the core of that story, which is that sort of conflict between the human and the robot? It's this sort of trying
even
to
more
maintain
so.
More yes this sort of
even more so. I mean, there's a great part. Gary Oldman plays the scientist who's responsible for turning him into the robot, and he has to make a moral choice. His CEO is down on him to produce results. In order to produce results, he has to remove the humanity from Alex Murphy, basically turning him into a zombie. And then you see this kind of big moral choice going on and the results of it. It does that very well.
I really don't like this, because you're selling me on it, and I wanted to not like it. I wanted to be like, oh no, the first one was good.
I didn't expect to like it, to be honest with you, okay? And I thought, you know, given everybody hated it, I'm going to not really enjoy this, but I've got to go see it anyway. But when it kind of, do you know what? If I hadn't seen the original RoboCop, I would have preferred this one.
Hmm. See, I haven't seen either, so I'm intrigued now. And also a little annoyed, because that's another film I'll have to see now. I think there are about four.
Is there anyone else here who hasn't seen the original RoboCop?
No.
I saw about 5 minutes of it once.
Yay! Look at us, we're so uncultured.
Right, I got to the point where they killed the main character, and then I had to leave because it was so gory, I just couldn't take it. I was just...
I watched it recently on the recommendation of, I read someone who, like, because the new one was coming out, did a sort of really nice in-depth review of the original one. I think it was... Digital Drift, which is like a really in-depth reviews podcast, and they've really sold me on the idea of the first, and I went back and watched the first one. It's does a lot of interesting stuff to do with transhumanism and like sort of progressing beyond humanity's current limits through technology, and it's a really interesting, as well as being really over the top film. But I don't know, I saw all the posters for the new one, and I instantly thought, bang, bang, shooty, man, gun, robot film.
Well, you see, I thought that as well, right? But there's so many different things going on in this film. The number one level is the kind of transhumanism, going from a human to a robot, right? The second one is the moral choice of removing his humanity to give the robot more control. So, for instance, when they do a trial test, when he's up against some fake enemy, he only performs like 28% of efficiency, whereas the robots perform like 95%. And to get into that 95% range, they have to remove his humanity. So he only thinks he's doing it, okay? And then later on, there's a whole political debate in the US about whether they can introduce robots into the streets of the US to control crime and stuff like that. And there's all these sort of different layers going on. And Samuel Jackson's character in the film is amazing for that. It's great. I recommend going seeing it, just to see it. I mean, I will say one thing, though. If you thought the death was a bit gory in the first one, whereas the death in this film isn't gory, they do kind of reveal to him via a mirror what he looks like underneath all the equipment. And that's a bit... I saw somebody walk out at that point.
Is he naked?
He's not naked, but all he is a pair of lungs and a heart.
That sounds amazing. I'm going to go and see it.
That feels like something that would make...
Someone who's already seen it, and just they can point it out to me when it's about to happen.
I was going to say that... That makes me feel like that's a film that would make me want to cry, which is my clever segue into Tilly's topic of the week, Broadchurch.
The TV Tilly, show, yeah?
Yeah, Tilly made me watch the TV show Broadchurch, and that's...
Has anyone else seen it?
I love that show.
Broadchurch.
Broadchurch.
Yeah,
Broadchurch. Feelings. Oh, goodness. Yeah, we should probably say something.
I cried a lot. It was great.
Yeah, it was horrible. this is part of a larger general topic that I want to bring up this week, which is things that you love, but that also make you want to cry. And I think Broadchurch fits very well into that. It's a...
Puppies.
I'm at a disadvantage here, right? Okay? I'm a bloke, and you're going to have to say to me I have to admit crying at something?
Yeah, admit crying at it. Did you cry?
It's what's the word? Cathartic. It's cathartic.
Cathartic's a good word. For anyone that's not seen it, basically it's a crime show with what's the doctor's name that
David
plays
Tennant.
David Tennant. Yeah, he plays the sort of detective that's trying to solve this young boy's murder, and it gets really dark, and there's a lot of things that make me want to cry.
The bit I didn't like was, what's the guy who plays the caretaker in Harry Potter? I can't remember his name.
Oh, the guy that plays Filch.
I know his name, but I know
his name is just Filch.
Yeah. Yeah, yes. the episode
he's
with him.
He's Lord Frey.
Yeah, I cried at that as well.
Yeah.
I didn't cry at that because I'm not going to admit to crying, okay? But that was dark.
Basically, they set his character up for something that, like, there's a lot more to what's going on with him than there seems to be, but he's, like, he's horribly made into a bit of a martyr for a cause, and it's really horrible what happens to him, and it's really sad, and I felt so bad for him.
Yeah, and you never think you'd be sad for someone who was convicted of that crime. No, I just don't want to spoil it for anyone who hasn't.
Yeah.
But you never think you'd feel sorry for someone who was convicted of that crime, and you just find yourself crying your eyes out when everything comes to a head with him, and it's just...
They do a wonderful job of not saying, oh, this person never did what we're accusing them of. It's, yes, they did what they're accused of, however...
Oh, hello, I can hear everyone. Sorry, my thing went and I was like, oh.
That's okay. That's fine, you're back. But yeah, they make a really good job of saying, yes, he was convicted of what he was accused of, but that there's a lot more to it, and you start to feel sympathy for someone where it's like, that is a really bad situation you're in, and I do feel sympathetic to your cause, which is, as Tilly said, really...
It's also
really
a really good analogy for, you know, group mob mentality getting out of hand, and how people don't really listen to what really went on and just make assumptions, and things can go out of hand because of that.
Well, the scene that always gets to me is when he's talking to the father of the dead boy. And he's trying to explain himself.
The mob is stood behind them?
Yeah, and they're all like, you're a dead man, and he's talking to the dad, and it's like, oh no.
The thing that I thought was really interesting is there's a lot of parallels between that and the way that Twitter dramas seem to unfold these days, where you have the huge, massive mob that swarms in on the person, not really knowing the details, and trying to like be like, ah, everything, here are our feelings, we want to attack you. And then you get the, like, trying to have that one-to-one conversation to solve things where you're like, no, this is what's going on. Please listen. I'm trying to explain. It's not how it seems. Please stop shouting at me, crazy crowd. I like my analogies. Oh, goodness. What else do we have to talk about this week that is not quite so horrible, maybe? I made Tilly watch a show, so we're going to go the other way around now. Tilly, you started watching Avatar. Yes.
The Last Airbender.
Not that.
Terrible film.
No, the animated
film. The film was good.
No, it was not.
The film Pocahontas set in Vietnam, and he's got like 5 sequels, and it's not fair because I could take that. I could make an amazing film. But no, James, stupid face Cameron, has to make terrible, terrible, slightly racist films. It's not okay.
We're getting into more and more Avatar confusion. There is Avatar The Last Airbender, the live-action film, which was terrible. There is James Cameron's Avatar, which was Pocahontas.
Oh, that Avatar. Aliens.
Yes, now see, that's where Kate's gone, but we weren't watching either of those. We've been watching Avatar.
I'm all confused now.
That's fine. We've been talking about watching Avatar, the animated series, the one with Aang and elements and things.
And it looks fun, and I would like to see it, but I don't really know where to start.
Tilly, what did you think? Tell us things.
I'm really enjoying it, like, more than I thought I would. Like, I thought it was you know, from what I've seen previously, I thought it was, it kind of went along the same lines of Naruto. I don't know how many of you have watched that.
But, no, yeah, but I've read a little bit of the manga and really like the look of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot more to it than something like that. It is one of these sort of, very much like a shonen anime, like a Naruto or something like that. You've got the big sort of saving the world plot that goes on. But the big thing that I love about it is there's just this cast of three main characters that are all such amazing friends, and they're all such lovely characters, and yeah, I want to watch their adventures forever.
The story is completely carried by the characters, you know, like that. It's the cornerstone of good writing is the characters, and that really nails it.
Yeah, like there's some really good things with like the female lead in the trio, Katara. The female lead, Katara, has so many good opportunities to basically just be a badass feminist. Like, she has so many moments where she just stands up in front of big crowds and is like, nope, I am taking charge. Listen to me, because I know better than anyone else. And she's generally right because she's awesome. And then you've got Aang, who is the hero, who is terrible at most things and really struggles to do stuff.
And he's so stupid as well.
Yeah, but he's adorably stupid. And they have a comic relief type character called Sokka, who is the least annoying comic relief in the world because he's really dry humoured and sarcastic and just amazing.
I was going to say, because usually if you have like a lead character who tends to be quite stupid, that tends to be really one of my wind-up points for anime. And a few series do it. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I have stopped watching series because of that.
He's not actually stupid. He has very strict morals that sometimes sticking to his morals as strictly as he does is a problem.
Yeah, he doesn't do things all the way through. That's what I meant when I said he's stupid. He does a lot of things that get them into unnecessary trouble.
He's very immature in his worldview. He's very sort of black and white, like the world, things are either good or bad, right or wrong. And like some things are always right, some things are always wrong. And like at least in the first series or so, there is a lot of conflict caused because of his refusal to do the sensible thing and his insistence he stick with his moral compass. And it's interesting how that plays out. And they do some really fun stuff with that.
Cool. So it's not played for farce or anything. That sounds good.
No.
Then. Yeah.
No, he's not just a bumbling lead. He is a lead who does things that are not the sensible thing to do, but he has a really optimistic, youthful reason for wanting to do so. And he's balanced really nicely by Sokka, who's really cynical. And the two balance each other very well.
You keep forgetting Toph.
Oh, God, yeah. I forgot we'd gotten as far as where Toph was.
Like halfway through season three now, so...
Yeah, Toph is the final person who joins this trio sort of halfway through the show. And she is blind and she's basically completely overprotected by her parents, who won't let her do anything, and she rebels by being like, right, I'm gonna run away from home with this person on a world saving mission. And she's really nice in how she, some of her ways of rejecting expected gender norms are really interesting how they're played with. Equally, she's very good at self-deprecating humor about the fact she's blind, which I love. So, yeah, we watched Avatar. Hooray! I'm glad that Tilly enjoyed it, because I've been trying to bug her to watch it for ages.
So, Byron, did you say you've seen the film of this?
No, I saw Avatar Airbender film, and I've seen Avatar the film.
What did you think of Avatar the Airbender film?
Well, I didn't even know the anime series existed, to be honest with you. But as a film, if you turn your brain off, it was all right.
I will debate that point. Everything that I love about that show is completely stripped away. Everything about the strength
that's the point, though, isn't it? If you haven't seen the anime series,
I have
a different take on it.
I looked at
the anime series after watching the film, and I didn't like the anime series because I thought it's different. Why is it different?
I see that's annoying, because it's like everything that makes the anime like amazing, they stripped it out, and like I watched the film, I was just like, this is so mediocre that I want to cry. How could you do this to such good source material?
I just like the special effects there, to be honest with you.
the special effects were good, and that's why I really wish there was a good live action version of this, because it had such potential.
I get a feeling though that to do it any kind of justice, you'd need multiple films.
Well, it really should have done. Like he had, I think there was talk of them making a second and third film, but I really hope it doesn't happen. I really hope. Anyway, topics, other things we can talk about. Gemma, you were at Animex this week.
Yes. Yeah, it's the thing I was looking forward to last podcast. And basically, like, I flung myself at Middlesbrough the very day after recording that. Yeah, I went along to Animex Game. Basically, the Animex Festival is a week-long thing that Teesside University hosts. And it's kind of split into themed events. So games was followed on by comics. And the whole thing is generally to promote animation and games around Teesside University, who have courses related to this, funnily enough. So yeah, I got invited up by friends who've attended Teesside and sort of stay in touch with the area, mostly so we can host a Ladycade, which is social events for women gamers and women creators, sort of thing, just try to be more inclusive.
And sympathisers as well, people who are sympathetic to the cause as well. You're not banning anyone that's like, oh, you're a man, get out, go away, we don't want you, you smell.
Indeed not. No, it's just about creating a female-friendly space. One of those.
To be fair, boys do smell. That's known. From the time you're in primary school, it is law.
Thank you.
Sorry, Mary.
Sorry.
But, anyway, you know, go on. Rules. Sorry.
This is the next indie drama, yeah?
What, that all indie developer boys smell?
Yeah.
No, just all boys. You don't have to be an indie developer. Just saying.
I'm not denying this, by the way.
Okay, I'm going to start this drama now. I'm going to Twitter and tweeting about the fact that all boys smell, so that's fine. Do you want to continue, Gemma?
I can do. Yeah, so the game part of this is effectively a two-day conference of lectures, really. Well, not so much lectures, it's kind of talks and a lot of Q&A. Unfortunately, I could only turn up for like the last session on the first day because I had to take a train that day. But no, what resulted was a really solidly packed schedule. They had some really good guests from AAA down to indie. So we had Ashraf Ismail from Ubisoft talk. He was the creator behind Assassin's Creed 4 Black Flag. So he had a really interesting talk on the design process for that. People like George Backer doing a talk on why games are so great and why we should design them and things. My favourite actually was Cara Ellison interviewing Carla Zamonja from the Fulbright Company, talking about Gone Home and sort of how to approach something like that. So yeah, it ended up a really nice schedule, and interestingly a mix between, because like, a lot of the students at the university attended this conference. And they tend to get into the courses because they're fans of games. So at the social networking night we had, for example, there was a guy who happened to be a Teesside student, I gather, and came in a full Ultramarines like costume thing, doing like full-on cosplay and decapitating James Swallow and things like this. It was all very bizarre, but quite geeky and wonderful. Yeah.
Those are always the most amazing kind of events where it's just sort of like, oh, this is slightly surreal, but, you know, let's go with it.
Yeah, you're just walking into a networking event where students are expected to get advice from people they admire in industry and stuff, and suddenly you've got this Ultramarine strolling around. Just, yeah, okay.
You know, just with that. However it goes.
Yeah.
There was one bizarre thing with that event. My parents are really anti-games, and they wouldn't know anything about them. And I got a phone call that day saying to me, why aren't you at this show? What show? This Animex thing. I went, how do you know about that? And it's like, it was on TV up there, apparently. Because they live in Hartlepool, so not too far away from that.
It's that ruling thought of, if it's on TV or something that your parents have heard of, that's like the ultimate goal. Get to some event or in some publication that your parents know about.
Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, the only time they were proud of me being in games, I worked for Sega because they do it as Sega.
But that's the thing that happened when I got published in The Guardian. Suddenly that's when my dad was like, oh, you might actually
your
make a living out of this. Sorry?
When I got published in The Guardian.
Yeah, when I got published in The Guardian. Yeah.
Not four, quite that level yet, Laura.
My point I was trying to make was that was the first time my dad was like, oh, you might actually make a career out of this someday. I was like, yeah, yes, yes.
You know what's going to happen next, don't you?
What?
Pretty soon, right, we'll have to find a new host of the show because, you know, Laura will be too good for this.
Yeah. No.
Stay true to your geek roots.
I could never give this up because this is the highlight of my week. So, you know. Oh, goodness. Anyway, I'm trying to think things that have happened this week that we need to talk about. Kate, you have your own site. You have a site that you run and stuff.
Yes. It launched. It launched on.
Was that the whole thought? It's like, yes, it launched.
Well, actually, I was telling my boyfriend to turn the TV down, so I muted it. So hang on a sec. Harry, turn it down. Well, you haven't turned it down enough. Turn it down more. Well, put subtitles on. Sorry. True love is happening right here, right now. Yes, on Friday, the Geek
Agenda. Sounds familiar, doesn't it, Lovely?
Yeah, a little bit.
On Friday, the Geek Agenda launched finally at www.thegeekagenda.co.uk. It was such a stressful morning. I cannot tell you. There was so much boring admin stuff to be done. And I was like, go. So it was really stressful. Thankfully, Kirsty, my reviews editor, is down at the moment. So she was really helpful. And then on Friday night, we had a launch party, which was 1,000 times better than I ever would have imagined it being. It was absolutely fantastic. We had so many people there. We had some people from the Nine Worlds fanfic group. They were really cool. And whenever we talked about conventions with TGA, everybody's like, Nine Worlds is amazing. Nine Worlds is the best one. So I'm quite excited that they were there. Then we had a quiz, which was really successful. It was amazing. I have the quiz right here. Do you want me to ask you guys some questions and see if you know them? A couple of questions.
As none of us were there, this is a really good idea. Ask us some quiz questions. Geek quiz go.
Okay, we'll start with gaming. Okay. Which game?
Did you just scream, Tilly?
Yes. Okay, calm down, guys. So I will ask the question and then we'll go around and see which answers you would have put. Which game featured the protagonist, Joanna Dark?
I know this one.
Yeah, does anyone else know?
Yeah. Nope.
Laura and, sorry, was that Gemma? Did you know
Disney.
As well?
Yes.
Yep. Go on then, what was the answer?
Perfect Dark.
Isn't it the best game ever?
It is such a good game.
Best thing was like, I didn't have one of the expansion packs for my 64, so all I could do with it was play multiplayer. So my sister and I would just run around like lobbing the laptop sentry guns and stuff, and it's superb.
I used to play it with my sister, and it was like it was a big deal for me and my sister. We didn't really have much money, so we had the N64 when everyone like had Xboxes. You know, we were really behind, and we used to have so much fun playing it. So to me now, it has some really. It was a good game, but it also has a bit of sentimental value because it was really fun to play with my sister.
I'll tell you what. Actually, further to Laura Kate's Guardian comment there, my Game City last year was made when Martin Hollis, formerly of Rare, was playing a prototype of the game we designed at Planiac. That was kind of like, oh yeah, that's thanks for all the Perfect Dark moments and stuff.
Yes, it was perfect. I mean, we were quite young when we played it, so we didn't really understand maybe the narrative. But looking back, I'm like, damn, that was a good game.
Yeah.
Okay, right. Another game, another question. I'll give you another question. What do we want? Do we want film? Do we want comics, television? What do we want?
Film.
Film. Which Stardust actor also played a minor role in Bugsy Malone?
Ooh. I don't know.
Does anybody
Stardust
know?
Stardust actor.
Stardust actor, also in Bugsy. Two of my favourite films. The answer is Dexter Fletcher.
Of course, yeah.
He's one of the
Are we now just doing that even though we don't know?
I remember him both now.
Yeah.
He's in he's Babyface, where they do like get Babyface, and he's like, wait, I'm Babyface. So, and it was my reviews editor Kirsty and I made the questions up sort of over a coffee that morning, the morning before, and everyone was really impressed with them. So we will hopefully and this is obviously relevant to anybody who's listening, we will hopefully be running some more quiz evenings at Loading Bar in Soho, because it was so much fun, although I had such a hoarse voice afterwards. But it was really fun. We got people, there were some people there who were just chilling and playing games and weren't there for the party, and they joined in with the quiz as well. So that was a lot of fun.
I see, spreading geekiness. Well, at Loading Bar, admittedly, that's not hard, but yeah, spreading the geek agenda. There we go.
It would be difficult to find somebody at Loading Bar that wasn't interested.
Yeah.
So yeah, the party was really good and we had lots of people there. And I mean, I personally have, if we're talking about inclusivity, you know, mental health stuff, I have really bad social anxiety, and so did quite a few people there. And it was just such a chilled atmosphere. Everybody felt comfortable. So it was really, really nice. Everybody had a good time. I had a fantastic time, and hopefully everyone else had a good time. And for anybody who couldn't make it, we're hoping to have some parties in the future, sort of, you know, maybe a Halloween or a Christmas party or maybe something in the summer. So yeah, it was really, really good. And Laura and Tilly should have been there, but they will definitely be there next time, or I will drag them up from the West Country myself.
Sorry,
I really don't consider where we are the West Country, but you know.
You are the West Country. Sorry.
Where Dorset, which I don't think that Dorset is the West Country.
Dorset, do you need a passport to get in London?
Bath is in the West Country. Bath is in Baines. It's in Somerset.
Is it not
Bath?
In the West Country? It's near the West Country.
So
they make cider.
I am. Yeah, they make cider. It's the most West Country of the West Countries. Bath is in the West Country. I'm sorry. Don't deny your roots, okay? We've got Laura with her guardian, okay? Stay true to your roots, people. I will not be impressed.
I was going to say, that's like a week ago. I don't think that's my roots.
Well, like, the West Country is.
Okay, fair enough.
You'd be safe with Wessex, but yeah. Although it is bizarre, given that the Somerset accent is the stereotypical West Country one. I've never quite understood that.
Hot fuzz is how I always describe it to people. It is like that.
All right, yeah, that's where Andrew Roper comes from, isn't it?
I think so, yeah.
It's not diverse at all. It's really boring. Nothing happened. Like, one, you know, Lily Allen came to get her haircut in Wilton, which is in South Wiltshire, and it was like the front page news. So it's a weird place.
I see, before we insult any places any more than this, I'm going to kind of steer it's the topic away place, to something else. No, we're not insulting anywhere. Let's talk about one of my things, and I'm going to.
What about Milton Keynes? We can insult Milton Keynes, yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, that's fine.
Insulting Milton Keynes, that doesn't count.
Okay, I have a thing that I want to bring up this week. I found like a new band that I really, really like. That's really, really geeky, called The Mechanisms.
I was recommended them today, actually.
You were recommended them, I'm guessing, by Jenny.
They answered something on Tumblr about inclusivity, and everyone was like, oh, yeah, yeah. You have good views.
This was recommended to me by Jenny Goodchild, who runs one of the tracks at Nine Worlds, and she writes for Indie Haven and that sort of thing.
She writes for TGA as well, and she's been, like, her articles that she's put up so far have been fantastic.
She is wonderful, isn't she?
But I think she's at Geek Essays, if anyone wants to follow.
Yeah, at Geek Essays on Twitter. But, the reason I'm bringing her up is that she put me onto this band called The Mechanisms, and they're a band that does storytelling musical albums that are all on various topics. And like the one that I've been listening to a lot of this week is called Once Upon a Time in Space, and it's
I'm sold.
It's this really nice like reinterpretation of taking lots of vague concepts from nursery rhymes and children's stories and fairy tales and setting them in this one big narrative in space. And I'll try and sum it up as best I can. Like, basically, old King Cole is several thousand years old. He's found a technology that will extend his life indefinitely, and he's attempting to rule the universe. And he's trying to build an army of, like, basically create a clone army. And it's the story of, like, he ends up, like, I'm trying to remember who it is that's getting married. I think it's Snow White and Cinderella are getting married. And he wants to use one of them as like the template for these clones. So you end up having this story of Cinderella going off on this sort of space pirate battle across the universe, trying to get back the princess that she wants to marry and that she got ripped away from her on her wedding day. And it's really amazing how it ties everything together. And I just absolutely love it.
There needs to be like a radio podcast emotion for just slack-jawedness.
Yeah.
I'm slack-jawed. Yeah.
It sounds like such a strange concept to try and explain, but it's basically it goes between like one track will be set to music and like sort of narration set to music about the story and lots of like acting between multiple characters setting up this story, and then you go into like a really well acted in character story song that will then sort of like progress the plot on a bit, and it's really nice and I really recommend it. Like, you can find all of their music on YouTube uploaded by the band, so it's legally on YouTube. Just go look up The Mechanisms, Once Upon a Time in Space. I really like it, and I think it's amazing, and I love it. It reminds me a lot of things like Christopher Spanish Train, if any of you know that, in that it's very sort of musical storytelling. I'll shut up now. I'm sorry that I've just been like, I'm talking, everyone listen.
I'm not very good with music stuff, which is weird because my boyfriend's really into music and my friend Kirsty is really, really into music. So I'm like, whenever people are like, oh, listen to this music, I'm like, oh, I might like it. I have the entire Rolling Stones back catalogue on my iPod. Also everything Hannah Montana has ever released. Like, it's eclectic and diverse.
I'm just reading. We have a chat going on, a text chat. Trying to organize the podcast as we go. Someone suggested that the next topic should be our favorite ships.
Yes, that was me.
Byron had a moment where he didn't realize that Kate was suggesting like relationships and like shipping various characters. He thought that because this is like just after Valentine's Day, we should talk about boats that float on water.
That's a whole Valentine's different
Day. SS Great Britain is awesome.
And yeah, so anyway, favorite fictional characters you like to pair with each other? Go, topic, thing.
Kirk and Spock.
Well, we actually had, because we did
that's
an
just so article. Wrong.
We didn't. How is that wrong?
Okay. Do you want to explain to Byron why Kirk and Spock?
No, you're going to ruin my evil mind. I got medication for the rest of my life.
Tilly, explain it. Go.
It's the way that they're written, and there's loads of like subtext if you read into it.
Uh-huh.
Like, you're destroying my childhood.
Like, I think that like
I'll be in therapy for the rest of my life. I'll have to send you the bills.
Don't have to think about it.
I will happily pay your bills if it means that you start to ship Kirk and Spock. I'm doing a psychology degree. I can do that for you.
There is some great stuff in the reboot that like leads in some weight into how you look at it with the original series.
But for me, Captain Kirk in the reboot should be going out with Mia Thermopolis, if anybody gets that reference.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, excuse me, get back to Princess Mia. You're supposed to be running Genovia.
Well, basically, to like make the point of like where it connects in is Kirk in the reboot and old Spock that is Spock from the original series that meet in the reboot.
Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, basically Leonard Nimoy talks about the fact that, like, the way he talks about his Kirk and the way he waited around for eternity and, like, was willing to cross parallel universes just for another chance to spend more time with Kirk, there is so much homoerotic subtext in there. It's just like, I want them to be together because they'd be so lovely together.
My innocence is lost.
It won't! Think about it more innocently then. That's your fault.
You're on the dark path now to Tumblr, Byron.
Oh, God.
Oh, well, no, don't send me there. Come on.
We did an article so about cool. it for Valentine's Day called The Shipping Forecast, obviously.
I mean, the last time we had this kind of conversation, you told me about something to do with Harry Potter, now Star Trek. What else are you going to ruin for me?
Well, we kind of went for the Tumblr one, so we did our top five best ships. We mentioned John Locke, which John Watson and Sherlock Holmes, which Tumblr has done to death.
Yeah.
So anybody who found it sort of attractive or, yeah, that's a cute ship, is probably fed up of it by now. But then we thought of a lot of Avengers ones, like there's a ship called Black Pepper, which is Pepper Potts and Natasha Romanoff.
Ooh.
Yeah, because in Iron Man 2, they have a lot of chemistry and obviously in the films, Pepper and Tony are together, but for me personally, I see them as like best friends. They should be best friends forever and ever, but I can't see them together. So I like the idea from my headcanon that Pepper is either bisexual or gay and would go out with like Natasha. And in Iron Man 3, she had so much chemistry with Maya Hansen, played by Rebecca Hall. So I'm like, there is no Tony Pepper for me, it is Pepper and Natasha, or Pepper and Maya for me.
I do quite like that. One thing on the topic of partners in fictional stories that I wanted to bring up that I don't think we've talked about yet is J.K. Rowling going back on Ron. Have we talked about this at all?
No.
People don't know that she's kind of George Lucas it, as it were.
It's all part of my original vision. For anyone that doesn't know, basically in the Harry Potter books and films, Ron ends up with Hermione, and basically recently J.K. Rowling turned around and said, I wish I hadn't put Ron and Hermione together. Hermione should have ended up with Harry. And I don't know whether I'm doing this justice explaining it this way, but like, I think a lot of the anger about the whole issue is that the whole way through the story, Ron is the underdog. He's always living in Harry's shadow. And this was the one time where Ron wins, for want of a better phrase. It's Ron is the one that's like, he's not second best to Harry this time. Him and Hermione make perfect sense together and they end up together and it's wonderful.
It's also very telling that the UK media has totally focused. Like, Hermione, the entire point of Hermione's character is that she's a genius and she's kind and she's brave and everything. And everyone's like, oh my God, who is she going to end up with? And it's like, who cares? That's not the point of her character. It was nice that she ended up with Ron, but like, there are 100 other things that are more important about her than who she ends up with in the end.
Yes, there are, but her and Ron worked really nicely together as a couple, and they made a lot of sense. And I really don't see any reason why her and Harry would ever have worked out as a couple.
Well, there's the weird dance in the last, the second penultimate film, which everyone always talks about being. But to me, that was them being like, oh my God, life sucks at the moment, but we have each other and we're best friends.
Exactly, they were only ever best friends, and I really dislike that she's gone back to be like, meant to be like this. It's like, well, if that's the case, why didn't you write it the other way?
She's not supposed to be part of a love triangle. She's supposed to be, it's nice, I mean, we've talked about the rise of sororal relationships in films, but it's nice to have a guy and a girl and their friendship being amazing and not being, oh, they secretly fancy each other. They're best friends, they're a brother and sister, and it's really nice for that to happen.
I have a question to throw out, sort of diverting the topic a little bit. I genuinely wonder, are there many ships done that are hetero relationships?
But I'm bisexual and I'm a woman. So like, I don't know, I'm not really into, I mean, it's huge. Homosexual men being shipped. It's huge. Yeah. Really, really massive.
You know why I don't think there are many heterosexual ships on the internet? I think that it's probably because most of the time when there is when there is chemistry between a male and female character, the writers act upon it.
Yeah.
And it's very rare for there to be sexual tension or romantic tension between two characters of opposite genders that isn't there deliberately and then acted upon by the end. So usually, if there's a reason that like two characters seem like they would be right together, they will end up together. And I think that's the thing about homosexual shipping of characters, is it's this sort of looking at
it's for the fans. And a lot of fans are queer.
Yeah.
Well, even beyond that, it's just like, it's looking at the places where it would make sense for characters to have feelings for each other that are never acted upon. And I think that's the main time where that shows up, is between characters of the opposite sex, because most writers don't do that. Because I see a lot of what were the two main characters in Pacific Rim?
I haven't watched it yet, so don't spoil it too much for me, because I am planning to watch it.
Okay, fair enough. It's not anything too plot related, but they don't end up together.
I know that.
And yeah, I'm just gonna say that much. You see a lot of shipping of those two characters, and I think that is purely because that is a rare heterosexual pairing where there is reason that you would pair them together, but they very deliberately choose not to, and they're like, no, these are a brother and sister type relationship, they don't need to be in a relationship. They can just exist as, hey, we're two people that really respect each other and have a lot of love for each other, but it's a familial love.
Because it's not
like the X-Files, isn't it, when you got Mulder and Scully and you never really see them together except in the last film they did put them together.
Yeah.
thing. Oh, bloody spoiler that for me as well.
I'm sorry. We're talking spoilers for how many years ago was that now?
I'm really young. I'm 20. Like, this was before 20? My time. I'm 20 years old.
God, wife.
I'm
Byron,
really young.
Byron, how old are you?
You don't want to know.
I think we do now. How old are you?
Well, I have a guess.
32.
32?
Well, we've never seen you, so it's just by your knowledge.
Okay, Laura and Joe, are you posting me? How old am I?
I don't want to cause offence. I'm very much... I'm thinking the advice often given, which is, like, never ask a lady her age.
No, go on, seriously, I don't mind. How old am I?
The reason you never ask a lady her age is because you will turn out to be 1,000 and probably, like, whip your ass, just saying.
So I would have guessed at 32 or 34 at most.
Most? Oh, that's awesome. Thank you.
are you older then?
Yeah, way older.
Okay.
Let's add on a decade. 42.
Who said they were 20?
Pardon?
That's Kate.
I said they were 20.
Kate's 20.
Kate's 20. Okay. Well, you could literally be my daughter.
Oh, that's okay. I'm going out with someone who could literally be my father.
Likewise, yeah.
Please don't put that in the podcast.
That's going in the podcast.
No one needs to know about my relationship with a much older man who is wonderful and actually helped think of the geek agenda. So, actually... Andy sat next to me.
I feel much better about the age gap between me and Tilly now. That's like, what, 3 years?
3 years,
You're
yeah.
3 years
yeah.
between
3 years.
Me and my boyfriend.
Oh, God, I feel really ancient now.
Me and my boyfriend have 27 years between us.
Oh, yeah.
My goodness.
I think ours is about the same. Yeah.
My mum and my stepdad are 15 years apart, I think. Maybe 17 15. Years apart. But
Forsyth is like 30 years older than his girlfriend. And I'm like, wait, you're rich. This must be a reason. So me and my boyfriend will get really rich. And Patrick Stewart is loads older than his wife or girlfriend. So basically, my boyfriend is, part of the Enterprise.
Well, I was going to say, we could try to guess Byron's age by what was your first geeky thing?
Yes, genius, I love it.
My first geeky thing?
Yeah, what did you first really get into?
My first film, yeah.
Star Wars, when it first came out.
Okay, so you were around in the 1970s.
Yep.
You must have been born in the 1960s.
Nope.
You weren't born in the 1960s. Were you born in the 1950s?
Thanks.
My guess for your age, 43.
42. 43 this 42. Year.
42. I was going to say 42, and I stopped myself and was like, no, let's go 43.
There we go. Hitchhiker's geeky age. Awesome.
Yeah.
I'm
a member of Z9 plural Z Alpha. I can respect that.
Byron, are you the answer to life, the universe, and everything?
God, I hope not. We're a screwed universe if I am.
Oh, goodness. Right, what else have we got? I'm trying to see if we've got any more topics for this week.
Have we got any more ships? Has anybody got any more ships they want to talk about?
I'm still confused by the ships thing. They're literally just calling ships. Whoa, hang on.
Oh, somebody's ringing you up to be like, excuse me, shipping is this?
Hello.
Say hi from us.
Yes, please, thanks.
I'm curious now. Let's sit and listen and find out who this
is. Yeah, let's find out what's going on.
Bye.
Okay. You're ordering takeaway.
Okay. This is probably wrong or right, Ed. You might tell me off this, right? But halfway through our little talk, I got a bit hungry, so I sent a tweet to my wife asking if she made me a bacon sandwich. So that was brilliant. Her call saying, did you actually just ask for a bacon sandwich?
Now, see, I'm very tempted to do that. I know that downstairs there is a roast dinner waiting for me. I'm very tempted to text downstairs and say, could you reheat my my roast dinner and bring it up for me?
I have actually been eating cheese twists for the majority, like cheese breadsticks for the majority of this podcast with the microphone off.
Oh, wonderful.
I've been nibbling pepper
cracker. I ship Byron with his bacon sandwich.
What?
That you're now a ship. You can ship things with inanimate objects. But I think heterosexual ships, one of the heterosexual, well, two, we included two or three, but the main two we included on our top five was Rogue and Logan, Rogue and Wolverine, because the first X-Men film was so dull. You kind of had to look for your own entertainment. And the first thing we saw was like sexy Hugh Jackman I kind of want to be Rogue and have sexy Hugh Jackman Wolverine fancying me. So it was like, this is now a thing.
Yeah, I ship that.
Yes, good. Well, if anybody judges us, we will just retreat to our tower then. And also, quite popular, almost canonical ship was Clintasha, or Natasha Romanoff and Clint Barton in the Avengers series.
Oh, I have one that I think Tilly's going to quite like. If you're there, are you there, Tilly?
I missed that. Sorry, I was talking to my sister. What's going
That's
on?
That's fine. I have a ship that I think you will quite like. It's an Animal Crossing one.
Oh, good lord.
Right. I ship Tom Nook and the owl that runs the museum.
Oh, God.
No, that's pretty weird.
Why is that weird?
I do ship Isabel and my character.
Oh, yeah, everyone ships Isabel and their character.
But,
I want to retreat to a safe corner.
I ship Isabel, who is basically in the new Animal Crossing. She's your secretary when you're the mayor. And I ship her as gay and in a relationship with my Animal Crossing character.
She sent me chocolate cake for Valentine's Day. So
yeah, she's lovely, isn't she?
Difficult to misconstrue that.
We just lost Kate.
I'm back. Can everyone hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Stop running away.
I was eating cheese twists and, you know, cheese twists are good.
Cheese twists got in the way. Oh, a thing I have to tell everyone. I'm very excited. I met my very, very tiny infantile nephew today, and he's adorable, and he's tiny, and he's lovely.
Does he say much?
No, he's like a month old or less.
Teach him something to say, like a sonnet by Shakespeare, so that his parents are really impressed.
I'm really sorry that my less than a month old little child person that is in my house is not yet reciting Shakespearean sonnets.
True
really
story.
Sorry.
I got out of the womb and read The Massive Speech by Lady Macbeth, just saying.
Anyway, babies, they're adorable. That was my topic. Babies are adorable. I love them.
What do you plan to seed? What geekery do you plan to seed into your nephews?
Geek agenda, obviously. You will bring it up with the idea that this is gospel and should be taken as such.
Well, I'm not sure how much my sister's down for a week with Joseph.
Indoctrinate him.
I don't know how much I can indoctrinate into a baby in a week. But
well, depends how hard you try.
I'm thinking replace the mobile that goes above the cot with something geeky related. Maybe like a Star Trek themed mobile.
Or just a load of gaming joypads. Just dangling.
No,
that involves long cables. That could be potentially dangerous.
Everything you teach him in terms of, like, you know, if you're teaching him about letters and numbers, relate it to like square, circle, triangle, cross.
I think this is a bit early, but in a year or two we will revisit this and we will start indoctrinating my nephew.
My sister was born and communism fell on the same day, and I don't think it's a coincidence. So I'm just saying.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Yeah, we're just talking about
this. I've been talking for like 10 minutes and I accidentally muted myself, so.
Oh. I'm very... Were you trying to respond to us?
Yeah, I was. And I was like, why are you all ignoring me?
Well, I'm so sorry. Tell us all the things that you didn't have a chance to tell us.
It was fine. I got quite aggressive towards the end, to be honest. Something better you didn't hear.
Well, that indoctrinating children.
No, about being ignored.
Don't worry, I've done that on my other podcast, the Indie Haven podcast. I've done that before, and like been trying to talk and been really annoyed that no one's letting me talk and that they're talking over me, and then realized, wait a second, oh, I'm muted. Oh,
that's great.
This is why I love this. This is my favorite part of the week. This is wonderful.
You know, years to come, right, there'll be actual therapy for that. Muted therapy.
Oh, I was ignored on a podcast.
I thought I was talking and I thought people were ignoring me
for an entire hour.
I have had that though when you're talking, particularly it seems to be particularly about geeky things. It's like you come up with some amazing comeback and you say it to an empty kitchen or something. You turn around and you realize your partner's wandered off. It's just infuriating.
Yeah, it's that moment of I have
all the time.
I've had my moment of brilliance. Why is there no one here to hear my brilliant thoughts?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Perhaps this is why we podcast.
I have had an entire conversation with Susan and just discovered that Susan's actually wandered off and there's a complete stranger behind me.
Well, I'm sure your complete stranger loved what you were talking about.
It was a weird look. It's like you're going to make, who the hell are you? You're not Susan.
See, I've done that in supermarkets, but I've been enthusing to a random Swede about a particular flavour of pizza. It's just embarrassing.
When you say Swede, do you mean there's the vegetable or a Swedish person?
A Swedish person.
Jemma? I've got this big lump going, I love this pizza.
Jemma, what's your favourite pizza topping now that you've mentioned it?
Well, actually, I've been recently converted to capricosa, is what they call it in here. For some reason,
all anchovies.
No, yes. It's. I've realised in Sweden, all the toppings are called something different to what they are in the UK. So whereas we have.
That's disgusting.
So in Britain, a farmhouse is something else. I can't remember. But capricosa here is ham and mushroom.
No, that's like a Hawaiian-y farmhouse thing. Capricciosa here is like anchovies and... Oh, enjoy the bacon sandwich.
Say hello to Susan.
Hello.
Hi, Susan. Hello. Does Susan have any geeky things she wants to tell us about?
Geeky stuff? What are you... Yeah, she plays... what's the game you play?
Theme park.
Theme park on iPad.
Ooh,
like
nice.
Theme hospital, but the same company.
Yeah.
Yeah, except remove any kind of fun whatsoever from the game, any kind of personality thrown in the game, and that would be theme park.
How hard to play theme hospital? It's amazing, as we discussed last week.
I'm not about to get hit, okay?
Okay. Oh, my word. Okay, now this seems like probably a good sort of time to start wrapping up for the week. Right, everyone, what are you excited about in the next week, or what are you looking forward to, or what's happening? Gemma, go.
Well, now that I've sadly run out of This Is Jinsey to watch, I've just started an anime series I got recommended, Steins Gate.
Are in for something very good there.
Yes, I've had it recommended because it deals with a particular thing in an interesting way, apparently. So I'm looking forward to that. Yeah, it's starting off well. It's it seems to be doing the typical anime thing where I realise, it's going to take about 10 episodes to get into the bulk of the story. But
yes, that is definitely true. But yes, it's worth getting into. It's a very good series.
Yeah.
What about you, Byron? What have you got coming up in your next week, or what are you doing, or what are you excited about?
Well, I kind of booked a stand at Rest, which happens on the 28th of March. Didn't quite really that fast, so I've got until then to make a game. So pretty much my weeks from now until then is making a game. However, I just did get into House of Cards Season 2 on Netflix, which is amazing.
Ooh, that is rather exciting. I started watching Season 1, and I'm really enjoying it so far. So
first episode of Season 2 is wow.
We will have tweets about it, yeah.
We will have to talk a bit about that next week, then. I will put it on the list.
Yeah.
Tilly, what are you excited about or doing in the week, or what have you done, or things?
Things.
I can make sentences. I can be a podcast host.
Yeah, you said it. You do it for a living and everything.
In The Guardian, no less.
The Guardian.
The Guardian pays you to do it. Wow.
I think this has to be a running thing that, like, every week I have to bring up at least once that I've written for The Guardian.
Do they pay well?
Funny how you're the one who proposes you bringing that up. You're trying to get another gig with them, Riley Sharps.
Oh, well, I've sent some more pictures, so hopefully I'll have more work with them soon. Anyway, Tilly, what are you excited about this week?
Well, I've not got anything in particular coming up, but I'm going to set aside the week to revisit some of my favourite book series, like Chaos Walking and the Dark Materials trilogy and Mortal Legends. And yeah, I'm going to try and read as much of that as I can. Oh, and I'm going to start watching Orange is the New Black.
So ooh, good.
You'll have to tell me how that is next week, because I've heard good things about it, but I haven't set aside the time to watch it.
I heard someone on Tumblr refer to Orange is the New Black, Elementary, and Sleepy Hollow as the holy trinity of inclusive media. So,
having read or watched some of all three of them, I would 100% agree. They are amazing. They are written by people who are starting to understand the change in trend. And Orange is the New Black, the first couple of episodes, you're like, oh, I could take this or leave it. And then it just gets better and better and better.
Okay. Yeah, the other two, Orange is the New Black is the one that I need to just, guarantee that's, what they say it is.
Okay, sell me on that next week, definitely, because I need an excuse to watch it. All right. What have we got? Kate, what are you up to next week or excited about?
Continuing running the Youth Agenda, which will be my continuation to like the day I die. But this is the first week, so it's, you know, super like exciting. And I'm also like I ran the site before, like with Time Magazine.
Have we lost Kate?
But there's still so much I need to learn and so much that is new to me. No, I'm still here.
That's
here.
Fine. Sorry, for a second, me? I thought you were gone.
Oh my God!
You're back.
Oh my God, that really scared me. I am here. I'm here. Yeah,
so running... Time Magazine? I missed that with Time Magazine.
I used to run High Magazine and it's very similar but totally different at the same time. So it's exciting for me to learn. In terms of watching stuff, I'm with my boyfriend and my best friend tonight, which is a rare and happy occurrence. So we're probably going to go, oh, you have to watch this. Have you never seen this? And end up showing each other loads of stuff that we think is amazing.
Hooray. What am I doing this week? Let me have a look. I have my list of things I'm doing in the week, so I can have a look at that. I've written my first thing for the Geek Agenda, which
Fantasy Haven. I mean, I've just had such good things about those two sites. You know what I mean?
I know. They're the best two sites anywhere that have ever existed for anything.
Everybody comes up to me and says, if I could nominate two sites, it would be Indie Haven and the Geek Agenda.
Not for anything specific. You're just nominating them in general. We're just nominating them.
Factors.
I will be submitting that and it will probably be submitted and hopefully up before the podcast goes up.
Depending on how lazy I am.
time for me to do my smug thing. I'm finishing my first article for the Telegraph. I am reviewing a game called Tengami, which is like an iPad and touchscreen phone game. That's like it's all pop-up book art and set in like ancient Japan, and it's absolutely beautiful and has really nice music, and I'm really excited to play the full thing. And I am working on making my game, so yeah, that's the thing I'm doing more of.
Yay.
Most of that for my week is coordinating the final bits of voice acting for the demo. I've got 3 roles left I'm trying to fill properly, so
if you want me to be like a dragon, I can be like
If any of you are interested in doing some voices, I can send you the script because I still have some voices that need filling. There are no dragons in the demo for the game. I am not talking about story beyond the demo.
I can be a dragon.
Okay, would you like me to say that there is a potential for a dragon in the full game? I can I can neither confirm nor deny because the full script is not yet written. There is an outline.
When I am involved, there is always potential for a dragon.
Okay.
I think Kate should definitely be the dragon. She sounds like a good
dragon. Okay, I will work out where I can solidify putting a dragon in, and Kate can voice the dragon.
Yay!
Anyway, yeah, that's my week. I will be doing lots of getting people to voice various characters, so that's been fun and that will be fun. But yeah, thank you for joining us, everyone. This has been episode 2 of the Geek Night In. I was gonna say the Geek Agenda. Damn you and your site name. That's stupid.
It's a bird's word.
I know, it's
successful and popular and amazing. It is, it's everyone wants to talk about it.
Anyway, yeah, you can subscribe to us on iTunes by going on the iTunes store and searching The Geek Night In, and we show up and we have a nice little logo that Gemma made.
Subscribe to us, did I?
Pardon?
Subscribe to us.
Hooray! Yes, sorry, we need to give a shout out to Tilly's mum who listened to our last podcast.
Yay! A load of my friends were like, it was really good. And I was like, oh, was it? And that sort of self-deprecating, of course it was good.
Hello, Mrs. Tilly's mum. Hello, Miz. Sorry?
You just said hello, this is Tilly's mum.
No, I said hello, Mrs. Tilly's mum.
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
Oh, can I just say we're listed as explicit on iTunes, and that makes me really happy.
Yeah, we're listed as explicit because I want us to be allowed to swear if we want to. So
it's so rebellious.
Right.
Yeah, we have the ability to swear if we get annoyed by stuff.
Yeah,
so that's like that.
So maybe no swearing yet.
Okay. No swearing right now. But okay, you can subscribe to us on iTunes and you can download the podcast every week. I need to find out what our website.
Twitter it, we're there.
Sorry, yeah. thegeeknightin.podbean.com, which is where you can download our episodes one by one on a computer. And then we're also on Twitter at thegeeknightin. So, hooray. Thank you for joining us, everyone. And we will see you all again next Tuesday. Bye.
Bye.